All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brunson Experience. It has been, I think, close to a year since I've recorded an episode on this podcast. Quick recap for those that don't know, I started the Brunson Experience podcast, obviously pulling the name from Joe Rogan because I thought he was cool. And of course, I've got a unique first name, so that made it pretty easy. But I only did it really because I felt like I had so much I wanted to share with people. I had so many ideas that were in my head. I had so many things that I think about. And the funny thing is, it really was more of a method for me to just get all of that noise out of me, right? Like, I had so many ideas turning in my mind at all times. And to be able to say those out loud was actually deeply beneficial for me. So I guess that's kind of why I really recorded this podcast in the first place. But, I want to share with you a most recent thought. I've decided to start recording on this platform every now and again. I don't really want to make it a schedule thing because I don't want to force the content, if that makes sense. I want to record naturally and instinctively. And when I feel like I've got something that's meaningful to share, I want to share it. And if that takes a year, then it takes a year. But this is hopefully a place where people can listen to episodes that I find meaningful and episodes that I think are going to add value to people's lives and hopefully maybe help them answer some of the questions that I've been wrestling with myself. So there's no particular direction here, but I just want to share a few thoughts with you. So I've been recently talking to a few friends about a concept I heard first from Tony Robbins. He talks a lot about this. It's the concept that we often overestimate what we can achieve in a year, but underestimate what we can achieve in a decade. And the more I've really thought about this, the more profound it's become to me. This idea to me is so interesting because my whole life growing up, I always said to myself, I want to be a millionaire by 25, right? Well, guess what? I'm 26 and still not a millionaire. And I remember, I think maybe when I was 24, looking at how far I was from my goals. And I think I decided I wanted to be a millionaire by 25 when I was maybe 21 years old. I don't remember exactly. And I thought I'd make my first 100,000, and then the next year I'd make like 500,000. And I really had this very steep vision of what I was expecting of myself. And when I started getting close to that 25-year mark, I got really depressed. Like, actually, I got very seriously blue because I felt like a failure. Here I had all these big goals and dreams, and what was I doing? Just plodding along, you know what I mean? Not really getting anywhere. So I think it's very typical, though. I've talked to so many of my friends. I talked to a friend who was just like super overweight, and he came to it and he's like, just so you know, dude, like in 6 months, I'm gonna have a six pack. I like made up my mind on it today. And I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, go for it, man. Like, I support you. 3 months went by, or actually, I think like 5 weeks went by, and he just totally burnt out, was horribly sore all the time, miserable. He couldn't see any results, and just gave up, and nothing changed. And the next time I saw him, like he was even more overweight than before. And I think it's in our nature that we're so impatient about things. We live in a society that has trained us to get things quickly, and without much effort. And as a result of that, guess what? We always want results instantly. And so rather than him saying, you know what, I'm going to try to live a healthy lifestyle for 5 years, he just wanted to get a six pack in 6 months. And this is so typical. Like, we'll always look at something in a year term and go, oh yeah, in 1 year, New Year's resolutions, right? In 1 year, I'm going to totally transform my entire life and like become this amazing person. And I'm going to get in shape, and I'm going to learn like Taekwondo, and I'm going to learn underwater basket weaving, and I'm going to learn 17 languages. And we create these just absolutely these unrealistic expectations, and we put them on ourselves. And when we don't meet them, we feel incredibly depressed and blue. And we say, you know what? Never mind. I just can't do it. I'm just not strong enough. I'm not capable enough. And this is me myself, especially. Like, I really have beat myself up when I thought that I could learn Spanish in 3 months. And I got some basic stuff down. But the irony about it is that my Spanish has improved bit by bit over the last 2 years. And it's now way better than it was, with actually very little effort because time is so powerful. So going back to what Tony Robbins says, in 10 years, It's amazing what slow, consistent effort will do over 10 years. Amazing. And we don't really, we just don't think about it very often. We're always thinking in terms of the short-term goal. But if we instead looked at things at a long-term perspective, like a 10-year span, and gone, okay, over the next 10 years, what I really want to accomplish. And what if I just worked out for 20 minutes a day? You're not going to die doing that, right? You don't have to work out. You don't have to go on keto, or, maybe the opposite, like in my case, I have to eat 6,000 calories a day and work out for 4 hours a day. Like, that's what it would take for me to become like a Greek god in a year, right? But if instead I just ate a healthy portions, got enough protein in, had good nutrition, and worked out for, I don't know, 45 minutes a day, here in even 5 years, I'd probably have an incredible physique. And that's actually the approach I've been taking more and more, is trying to change my focus from quick gains to slow gains. My brother Peyton, who has just been an amazing, I'd even say mentor in my life, he's just been a lot better at making good decisions than I have. And as a result, one time we were on the phone and he was reading the Book of Mormon. For those that don't know, that's the Mormons, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's their religious text. It's kind of like the Bible. And he was reading this, and he was like, there was a cool verse in there that talked about, I don't remember actually what the verse exactly said, but what he took away from it was the concept of men are quick to do evil but slow to do good, or something like that. And it became a really profound pillar for him in his philosophy. And I'd like to kind of share what he was talking about, because it was really quite profound to me as well. He was always talking about that we're always looking for quick money. We're looking for a get-rich-quick scheme. We're looking for a quick weight loss. We're looking for a quick way to fix our relationships. We're looking for a quick way to get the girl. We're looking for a quick way to, make your child stop being an annoying, like, teenage brat. Like, we're always looking for someone to come and fix our problems and to do it super fast. But instead, and in stark contrast to that, slow is much more powerful. The tortoise and the hare, right? So my brother said, because it's funny, because I've been trying to rope him into doing some of the work that I've done, and I'll be very vulnerable right now, that a lot of the jobs that I've done, I make a lot of money really quickly, and then I coast for a while. They'll make a lot of money really quickly and then coast for a while. And some people ask me, like, where are you at financially? And I'm like, it depends on the day. Like, for me, it's like the last 5 years for me have been very much feast or famine. I think I was given some good natural ability, and which is in some ways really kind of been more of a curse to me than a blessing, because it has allowed me to show up at places and just to work really, really hard and like crank out incredible production, make a lot of money, and then all of a sudden I'm just like, I have trouble keeping that momentum. My brother took a whole different approach, and he did what I thought was crazy. He ended up working in the family business, which I had zero interest in, by the way. And over time, I've seen him develop this amazing lifestyle for himself. Now, is the money ridiculous? No. But here in 10 to 20 years, he will be incredibly, incredibly well financially set up. Whereas for me, if I don't change my ways, I'll probably be in the same spot I am right now. Like, I'll be kind of that, that burst of energy, then nothing, then huge chunk of money here, then not a lot of money there. And there's so much power to like slow, consistent, stable movement. And I also have to recognize this, and I have to like put in my little plug here. I don't think everyone is made the same. I've realized for myself, I have to learn how to optimize my gifts while simultaneously working on my weaknesses. For me, I can do stuff that most people would think is just absolutely bizarre. Like, I can pull a 24-hour shift working on a project and not need sleep. I can go a day or two or three without eating food because I'm so completely like enamored with whatever it is that I'm working on. So when I get obsessed with something, I get unusually obsessed, and I can move mountains in a short amount of time. And I see that as a benefit, especially if you work in a rapidly changing field like marketing or in the sales world or whatever else. And currently what I do right now is I do solar sales, which is 10 days off or 10 days on, 20 days off. And it in some ways works more consistently with my natural abilities, which is just to work really hard and then to go take a breather. I have more of a hare personality, but I'm trying to develop the tortoise side of my abilities. So that's something that I've put a lot of thought into lately, and I hope that's meaningful to all of you guys. I think that for me, what's been really powerful is to consider what parts of my life do I want to keep with that hare mentality, the fast mentality? What parts of my life do I want to focus on the slow mentality? For example, religion, spirituality, and connection with God cannot be done in bursts. I think it's not the worst thing. It's better than nothing. But spirituality is one of those things that is such a slow and steady progression that it just you won't even notice it. Then one day, like 10 years down the road, you go, oh my gosh, I've built up so much of like this capacity to connect with God and this relationship with Him. And it literally will affect every single part of your life in a profound way. You can't just all of a sudden wake up one day and go, you know what, I'm going to change my life, and in 3 days I'm going to become like a spiritual giant. It just doesn't happen that way. I think that spirituality is one of the slowest things to change. You can change your body in a year with extreme effort. You can change your relationships. You can change your finances. You change a lot of things. But spirituality is something that really does take a lot of time. And ironically, it's one of the slowest ones to diminish from my perspective. I've told my journey about my faith on this podcast before. And if you haven't listened to it, I'd recommend that. I really feel like it was the most vulnerable podcast I've ever had. And I know a lot of people have found it very meaningful in their own spiritual journeys. But when I initially decided to walk away from my faith, I almost couldn't do it. It was kind of this weird thing. Like, I kept on trying to be a bad boy, but I kind of couldn't be. Like, I was still so connected to God and to my faith, even though I was trying to rebel against it and push it away. I kept getting sucked back in because that spiritual inertia and that spiritual momentum was so powerful. I couldn't really stop it. I'd spent so many years of my life dedicating myself to developing my spirituality and my relationship with God that when I tried to just push the brakes, it was like I was part of a freight train. I really couldn't do it. And then, ironically, after a year or two, I found myself like getting what I finally wanted, you know, I thought, which was to disconnect myself from God and to stop feeling guilt and remorse about doing certain things that weren't in line with those original values. And it happened. Like, after a while, I stopped feeling bad about watching movies that I never would have watched before, or doing certain things I never would have done before, or using certain kinds of language I never would have used before. And then the funny thing is that when I had my kind of come to Jesus moment, I tried to restart that spiritual inertia. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll just be back to normal here in a couple months. I'll just start reading my scriptures again. I'll start praying. I'll start doing all those good things again. And guess what? It didn't happen. And it still hasn't happened. I feel like the momentum is starting to hit now. I'm like, I only recently have I started to feel like, okay, something is changing. Like, I am starting to get where I've wanted to be going this whole time. But dude, guys, it took a long time. And I think I've got years to go before I'm ever going to be back to where I was with that kind of spiritual momentum. And that's okay. And hopefully by the end of my life, that blip in the road won't matter. But I do believe that that's one of those things that takes a lot of time to deeply invest in. Wealth is another interesting one. You can do the quick method of like, I'm going to make a ton of money in the next 6 months, and people have done it. But what's way more powerful is if, let's say, you're making $80,000 a year and you take 20,000 of that and just invest it and live on the 60. 5 years later, you're not going to see much of a difference from that. But compound that over the next 30, 40 years, you've got a fantastic retirement. One of those things that doesn't initially make a lot of sense, that our instincts don't like to agree with. But when you really factor in the power of compounding time and interest and all those different things with finance and everything, it's pretty powerful what you can create. And this comes back to what Tony Robbins says. We often overestimate what we can do in a year. We underestimate what we can do in a decade. So that's my little thought for the day for everyone. Hope this has been meaningful for you. If you have any thoughts, please DM me on Instagram. I'd love to hear what maybe some of your experiences, if you have any stories to tell. I'm just always excited to hear and to learn from you all. As a side note, I do have other podcasts with my Semi-Meaningful Conversations podcast. That's really where I interview people about their stories and their value systems. And we get to talk about maybe some of those same kind of things, like maybe a cool aha moment that you had. Come onto the show, seriously. Bring that idea onto the show. Let's discuss it. You, me, and whoever else. We'll bring usually a few people onto that. It's actually a conversation setting. And then my other podcast is for entrepreneurs. So if you've got a great entrepreneurial story to tell, I have my Pivot Entrepreneur podcast, which talks all about that. The irony about this entire last 15 minutes that I've been talking is that I've got a fancy studio and And I think that's part of the problem is that I'm always waiting to get into my studio to record, but often inspiration comes at unusual times, or a profound like dawning of knowledge usually hits you when you as I am right now, sitting in bed at my hotel, just pondering on life, right? So anyways, with all that in mind, reach out to me. We'll get you into the studio, or we'll do a virtual studio session or whatever, and I'd love to hear your stories. So, until next time, thanks for listening today.